Second Epistle to Timothy, chapter 3.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured! But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works.
The last three verses in the chapter 2 are a brief manual for a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not strive, be gentle unto all men, be ready to teach, be patient, let your manners be the manners of meekness when you instruct those that are opposing. Always prayerful, always desiring that God would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, the gospel, the teaching of the Lord. And the ultimate goal of your ministry with these people, the opposition to the gospel, is that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, those that are taken captive by him, Satan, at his will. He's doing whatever he wants with them. In the chapter 4, first few verses, I charge thee, Paul is saying to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God, this is a very strong demand, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. This is not an easy task. Timothy had a very difficult job to do, and so do we today. Between the last few verses of the chapter 2 and the first few verses of the chapter 4 is this chapter 3. Not promising visible results, not guaranteeing full success after such a labor, such endeavor, being on guard and alert all the time and always ready to serve the Lord and do His will in spite of being attacked from every side from the opposition of the gospel. And all of that among the professing believers within the visible, formal fellowship of Christians. There is no promise in these words that everyone will respect the admonishment and receive the correction and be corrected, follow the Lord. There is no guarantee that anyone will obey the word of God. According to Paul's instruction, according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit given to Timothy, none of us should change the course or adjust our behavior, intentions, manners to accommodate evil wishes and desires, nor to go along with those that are departing from the truth of the gospel. First verse of the chapter 2 is saying, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse number 15 of the chapter 2 is telling us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as I just said, between the last few verses of the chapter 2 and the first few verses of the chapter 4, here is the chapter 3, and may I be free to say the way I feel, an awful chapter. Awful not only because it's listing a terrible corruption among the nominal believers, but more awful because it's the truth of God. This know also, that in the last days dangerous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, egocentric, selfish, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and on it goes. But that is men. What is that having to do with a faithful minister of God? We also have flesh and blood. We also must be on guard that none of these evils find their place, their room in our heart, in our mind. And as soon as we spot anything of that sort, we must get down on our knees, confess it to the Lord, seek purification, deliverance, restoration of full fellowship in the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we see something like that among the nominal believers, someone whom we had confidence in believing that he or she is a faithful believer and follower of the Lord Jesus, a sincere disciple, and gradually more and more, or all of a sudden, the kind of signals or indications that Satan is having power over that soul, that brother or that sister, we need not be frightened away, we need not be shocked, which I should confess I was many times. May the Lord keep us prayerful and arm us with the whole armor of godliness, salvation and truth. Make us strong in faith, calm in spirit, relying on the power and grace of God to take us through every task and assignment in our ministry to our Lord and Master. Yes, these times are dangerous because whatever is in the world, in the environment where we live, is exercising some influence against our inner man, our spirit, our soul, mind and heart. The instructions that the Lord has given to the Apostle Paul, to our brother Timothy, and also to us today in this recorded Word of God, these instructions are reliable resistance to the evil influences of Satan, the deceiver that by deception has power over those that are deceived. Originally, man was created to be blessed, to be happy, fortunate in loving and adoring his Creator and experiencing the love of God daily. That was the initial, the original nature of the humanity. Here we see that Satan managed to shift that focus, to degenerate the desires and intentions of the heart, and that way to enslave the lost souls under his yoke in the chains of sin and darkness. Instead of loving and being loved, men become egocentric, and their main interest in the others around them is to take advantage of the others. selfishness and greed are invading these souls, and there is no room for charity and loving kindness. In that condition, the souls of these people is unable to love, and not being willing to love, to have charity for the others, they are not able to realize, to experience the love of the others, even though they might be loved, because they are not willing to appreciate their fellow believers or fellow citizens. They feel not appreciated themselves, so they have that need to boast constantly in their attempt to earn some appreciation from the others. They are proud sometimes, which is quite foolish. At other times they are acting proud, hiding, covering up for their feeling of inferiority. If they come to a conclusion that the others around them are not going to serve their purpose and to build up their pride or advantage, then they quickly turn into blasphemers, as if God Himself is guilty that the other people around them are not going to support vanity, degradation, perversion of these deceived souls. When Satan is given the opportunity of harnessing the mind and heart of a nominal believer, many boundaries get broken, and even the basic regards have been trampled upon. Sense of gratitude has been destroyed, and although they want to keep the name of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are unholy, part of this sinful world around us. For the children of our Heavenly Father, the genuine disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is only natural to love the other souls and desire God's grace and salvation to everyone. That affection so natural for Christians has been done away with in the hearts and minds of these darkened souls. As we can find in all of the scriptures, and especially in the New Testament, and very much so in this epistle, the second epistle to Timothy, we are instructed to be peace lovers, peacemakers, striving for peace even when we are dealing with the opposition. That virtue has been destroyed here. These prodigals are truth breakers. It is nothing for them to be creating discord, destroying the peace among the believers. To them, false accusations seem to be a very handy tool for achieving their political, social, religious, and material prestige. In their evil pursuits, they know not limits. They seem not to be able nor willing to stop and turn back to the Lord. If anyone would try to help them and turn them away from their evil direction, they become fierce. Satan is exercising his evil dark power over these lost souls, as he did in the beginning over Cain. Having been debased to this level of blindness and spiritual darkness, these people do not recognize anymore the values of God's blessings and gifts and virtues, Christian manners and desires. In the same manner, they will despise all those that are following the Lord. These lost sinners, though they still might be having a name of a disciple, need not 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord. They have become traitors long ago. Perhaps long before the honest and sincere disciples around them have noticed that. For a simple disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very difficult to believe how stubborn heads they can be in their sinful condition. And with all of that, there is no remorse, no shame whatsoever. They are high-minded. They think that they are the wisest men in the world. All of that time, they are secretly or even openly by now, laboring for sinful pleasures, having been deceived by Satan that someday they are going to accomplish something that will make them happy in their sins. Here in the last part of the verse number 4, they are described as people loving pleasures more than loving God, because they love God only as much as they can make, or at least they think they can make, God their servant. And in the verse number 5 we see that they are having form, still having form of godliness, but they stubbornly deny the power, the authority of godliness in the hearts of these shackled in sin nominal believers. There is no respect for God and His Word. How can we expect any respect for the, quote, fellow believers, unquote? And now, having exercised all these virtues of faithful minister of Christ that we read about in the last few verses of the chapter 2, not striving, being gentle, ready to teach the word of God, patient, humble, prayerfully laboring to correct, to help, to instruct, and having experienced this reaction that is listed in the first part of the chapter 3, the last part of the verse number 5 is telling us, from such turn away. Don't waste your energy, your time, and your resources thinking that you can do something to help those that refuse to receive any help. God has other ways and means of dealing with these people. In the verse number 6, we read that this is the qualification, the characteristics of those that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The individuals and groups that stubbornly refuse to obey the word and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ eventually will become the emissaries of Satan himself. In the verse number 6, they're actively pursuing the entrapment of the foolish women. These women, neglecting the word of God, are following the deception of the evil spirit. In their lusting after sin, they're hallucinating, seeing something attractive, something beautiful in these demons in the human flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, "Seek and ye shall find, knock, it shall be opened to you, ask and ye shall receive." Everyone following that direction is accomplishing a great gain. Obviously, in the verse number 7, ever learning is referring to the people that learn to talk. They are not obeying to walk on the path of righteousness. In the first 7 verses of this chapter 3, a development of an awful spiritual degradation and abasement is presented to us, and in the verse number 8 it has been compared to the same battle that the man of God, Moses, had so long ago. As the slaves of Satan did everything in their power to prevent Moses obeying the Lord and to keep the people of God from following the Lord's calling, to keep them in slavery, so the nominal false believers might be more successful servants of the devil than the open sinners. They resist the truth of God, their mind has been corrupted, reprobate concerning the faith, unable to believe. First there was no willingness, now there is no ability. In the verse number 9 we have the conclusion, an open indication of God's displeasure and condemnation of all this evil. They shall proceed no further, because their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. The foolishness of Pharaoh's advisers was manifested many times. Many times he himself said, I was wrong this time, pray to the Lord for respite. And then, as soon as he was relieved somewhat of the plagues, he became even more corrupted, more evil. That were his advisers, his wise men, between quotations, telling him to do and teaching him to do foolishness. Finally, Pharaoh's utmost foolishness was clearly manifested as he and his armies perished in the waves of the Red Sea. Yes, everyone despising the Lord God Almighty, everyone rejecting the grace offered to us in Christ Jesus, will eventually glorify God when the perfect divine justice of God's displeasure and judgment is going to be exercised over them. For every human being, rejection of God's grace means choosing the judgment of God. May the Lord give us grace and understanding to know the difference ahead of the time, the difference between the high calling in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior and the self-destruction that is on the path of disobedience. In the verse number 10, Paul is saying to Timothy and to every sincere and faithful believer, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ today, thou hast fully known mine doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, all of that. The full knowledge of apostolic doctrine, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, includes no rejection of any part of the gospel. All these victims of Satan, described in the chapter 3 in the first 7 verses, started with partial rejection of the gospel. Partial obedience to the Lord is total disobedience. May the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, keep us prayerful in true godliness, learning His doctrines, His teachings, more and more fully, more and more completely, and following that teaching with our obedience, faithfulness, and ever-growing desire to serve the Lord. And in spite of seeing evil on every side, we may not generalize the wickedness of the wicked and neglect the sincere and faithful fellow believers. In the days of great apostasy, every soul is very precious. The fewer there be genuine disciples, the more precious they should be to one another, because all of us are very precious to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.